So we're continuing now with the Chaitanya Charitamrita Natak. And now I'm gonna move. I'll be here, I'll be there, I'll be everywhere. Well, it's okay. So in the third act of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Natak, which is called the Dana Keli pastime or Dana Vinod, enjoying the pastime of Dana Keli. Here we find how Lord Chaitanya, along with his devotees, is in the house of Srivas Thakur. And it is really described what is happening there in Srivas' house. We know that every night Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had kirtan in the house of Srivas. But not only kirtan, sometimes also they were performing dramas. Right? And on this occasion, they're performing a drama. And the drama which they are performing is a Vrindavan pastime. It is the typical Dan Keli pastime where Krishna stops the gopis and basically demands tax. Right? So Lord Chaitanya, in this activity, becomes Srimati Radharani. He plays the part of Srimati Radharani. Then Advaita Acharya, he is playing the part of Krishna. So, and Lord Nityananda is playing Jarati, an elder lady in Vrindavan who is accompanying the gopis and who is helping them and who is arguing with Krishna as he's trying to get the text. I'm not going to give the full description of this particular play that's going on, but it's just that we understand what's happening there. Lord Chaitanya is going in the mood of Srimati Radharani, therefore he's playing Srimati Radharani. Advaita Acharya is playing Krishna, and it says, how can the plenary expansion of the Lord, Advaita Acharya, how can he play the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Not possible. And it is a fact. It is not possible. Therefore, it is Lord Chaitanya himself who enters into Advaita Acharya so that he can play Krishna. Otherwise, so what is being played there is not just drama, but they are really becoming these personalities at that time, and no one can see the difference anymore. Of course, there's only very few devotees allowed in this play. The essence of the play is that everyone can enter into the meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So here, Lord Chaitanya is fulfilling his internal purpose, and that is what we're seeing. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is going really deep in his meditation on Krishna and in his mood of being Radharani. So that is the third act, and we'll leave it at that. Other than that, in the beginning, there is a further description going on with what happened in the second act. In the second act, we had renunciation personified coming on stage. Those who were here before remember that. And now there are other qualities that are also being described. Friendship comes on stage, and friendship begins to speak, and then other qualities are there. Love of God, Krishna Prema personified, is also there. And in this way, it turns out that there is a whole family lineage of different qualities, and I'm going to draw a little chart, which we just to see how to make it. So many of the many different qualities in devotees are here portrayed as personalities. And all these personalities are involved in some family relationship. And if you look at it, you can actually see how these qualities relate to each other. So it says like... I don't know if this is readable, because yesterday they said I was writing too small. Okay, is it readable? Yeah? And if not, you need glasses. Said it before. Mentioned between these two, mercy of the Lord and attachment to the Lord's devotees. So it is said that from these came a son. Son named Discrimination. And Discrimination then married with his wife became Thoughtfulness. Yeah. And then from them came so many children. Equanimity, and Equanimity then married. Here again comes. Huh? I'm going to write it. So anyway, it continues. Huh? I'm going to continue on the next page, I guess. I mean, what to do? It's too complex to do it in a big way, and it would have been nicer if I would have had it on a. Huh? Yeah, but I think, you know, for now it is getting there. You can copy it if you want to get more clear understanding. Here at the bottom, they have two sons, Naturalness. Purity. And a daughter. I'm going to say it now. We'll start one more time at the top. So it says, mercy of the Lord, together with attachment to the Lord's devotees, from that comes discrimination. If discrimination is combined with thoughtfulness, right, then actually non-envy will come about. Non-envy combined with equanimity will give us Naturalness, Purity, and Friendship. So this is like one wing of these qualities coming from the mercy of the Lord and attachment to the Lord's devotees. So in this little chart, different qualities are coming about. This is the left half of the chart, and the right half comes on the next page. So because they had a son, but they also had daughters. And these daughters were all of them were called devotional servants. All devotional servants. So then
this devotional service is a whole group of daughters. Yeah. This continues then on the next page for a second. So, then there are two groups. One was with nectar, and the other one without nectar. And this leads to love of God. Okay.
Too small. I have some blue tack, and somebody who is good can try and put these things together on the wall. Anybody handy? Okay, then Vasudev can do this. This looks really handy. Huh? Well, I don't know. Any spot really. So this here, okay, contains... I think it's there somewhere. Huh? Yeah, I guess so. You have to see how they fit together. It's this chart. In modern times, we don't use our imagination anymore. We just simply want to see everything with a picture and fully developed, etc. Whereas in previous times, things were simply orally delivered, which meant, well, one had to just mentally understand. Here's the blue tech. And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe just... wherever you think is suitable. When it's on the board, we can say a few more things about it afterwards. Meanwhile, I'll start reading the next act, the end of the play. At the end of the play, Lord Chaitanya has been in that mood of performing his Vrindavan pastime, his meditation on the dealings in Vrindavan is there, and he is very, it was a great moment of deep meditation. And then as the play ends, suddenly there is a sannyasi appearing in the garden. So everyone's thinking, what's this sannyasi doing here? This is like, nothing to do with the whole atmosphere. We were in Vrindavan and suddenly there's a sannyasi appearing. And the sannyasi who has appeared is Kesava Bharati. And Kesava Bharati is, of course, the sannyas guru to be of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the fourth act, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to serve this sannyasi. And Mother Sachi is just saying, why is he serving this sannyasi? Huh? This sannyasi hasn't asked for any service, and still he is so attentive to his needs. And she feels like something is wrong, something definitely wrong. That's how it begins. Why does Vishwambar worship this sannyasi? The sannyasi has not asked for service. Mother Sachi develops a terrible suspicion At that point, her transcendental son enters and pacifies him. You're not going to take sannyas. No, no, I'm not going to take sannyas. But later, the Lord is missing and does not return home. The devotees ask one another if anyone has seen the Lord. No one has. Their anxiety is mounting. Then they realize that also Lord Nityananda and Acharyaratna are absent. 3 days have passed. Acharyaratna finally appears and brings the news. The Lord has taken sannyas. Grief knows no bounds. But in the end, there is some relief. Lord Nityananda has stayed with the Lord and has sent a message that somehow or other he will lead the Lord to the house of Advaita Acharya. So this is like the main topic we want to discuss today. This chart is, you have to yourself draw it if you want to understand it properly. But it is actually a nice explanation of how different qualities are coming about. If we look at it, we can actually see by the mercy of the Lord and attachment to the Lord's devotees, then different things can develop. At that point, one actually develops proper discrimination. Then one will know what to do and what not to do. If that discrimination is combined with thoughtfulness, with the mode of goodness. Thoughtfulness is the quality of the mode of goodness. Then one can conquer envy, and one can come to non-envious behavior. Then with equanimity, with dealing very equal to all, then all good qualities can develop. Which were? I can't read it myself now. Naturalness, purity, and friendship. Right? Whereas, the devotional service is described, the daughters, on the other hand, are described, also coming from mercy of the Lord and attachment to the Lord's devotees, as all different kinds of devotional service. And then two major categories, devotional service without nectar and devotional service with nectar. So this is actually quite interesting. It said that devotional service without nectar is under the three modes of material nature. And then it begins to describe how with nectar one can perform devotional service in various rasas, and eventually one can develop rati or attachment to the Lord and go on till Krishna Prem. And in this way, Kavi Karnapur has, with this family chart, given some development of qualities in devotional service. So I thought it's a nice chart, actually. We can look at it. We'll continue to read about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. So I'll read a little bit from the beginning of the act just to get an idea. So let's say Vishvambhara has served already the sannyasi who visit. Mother Sachi has now become suspicious. Sachi, son, why are you so respectful to this sannyasi? Today you were very devoted to Kesava Bharati. Deva, mother, he's a great devotee of the Lord. Sachi, speak the truth. Are you going to take sannyas? But Chaitanya, smiling, mother, where did you get this foolish idea? How could this be? Sachi, son, your older brother gave you a book. While I was cooking, I put that book in the fire and burned it. But Chaitanya, what book? Why did you burn it? Sachi, Vishwarup said to me, mother, when Vishvambhara becomes a learned scholar, give him this book. As long as he had not taken sannyas, I carefully protected the book. When he took sannyas, I was afraid you would also take sannyas. Then I burned the book. Chaitanya, mother, although you are the form of all knowledge, love for your son made you act foolishly. Sachi, son, don't be offended with me. How can a mother offend her sons? If I've offended her, I pray my mother will forgive me. Please be merciful to me. Mother Satsi's son, you have not offended me. So in this way, there is the initial exchange between Mother Satsi and her son. So at one point, there is a wonderful and ecstatic kirtan going on in the house of Srivas. And everyone is just totally absorbed in it. It said, Gangadas is just going there. Near Srivas' home, I hear tumultuous sounds of kirtan that delight all the devotees. Perhaps Advaita is there. I will stand here and look. Everyone is chanting the holy names, dancing, and causing Lord Vishwambar to dance. Formerly the Supreme Lord removed the great burden of many invisible demons from the earth. I think that now, with his forceful step, the Lord is removing the earth's unhappiness by personally dancing upon her with his devotees. Then, who is this personality? Is he personified devotional faith? Is he personified mercy descended to earth? Is this the nine processes of devotional service appearing in a single form? It is Vakreshwar Pandit, whose transcendental bliss is equal to that of Lord Chaitanya himself, enjoying pastimes of dancing. And in this way, it continues to describe different devotees, how they're very ecstatic in the kirtan, how they're dancing, how they are totally forgetting themselves, and the night is just going by in no time. Everyone is ecstatic, and at one point, Gangadas, who is the witness here, gets a little tired at the end of the night. 9 hours have passed and they've been dancing all night. So he gets a little tired. So he goes off to a little corner in the house and takes a little rest. And when he wakes up, everybody is gone. He thinks, well, I'm the last one. Then when he comes out of the house, then they ask him, Gangadas, do you know where Vishwambar is? And he says, why are you asking? I mean, is he not home at Mother Satsi? No, he's not home. He did not come home last night. So at that point, Lord Chaitanya is missing. And then everyone is searching all over the place initially, but they can't find him anywhere. And at that point, everyone becomes more and more overwhelmed with separation. So, it's not just that we're dealing here with the particular play and the story that is going on with Lord Chaitanya. Like someone told me this morning, and he said, like, I don't feel I'm ready for Lord Chaitanya's pastimes yet. You know, it's like it's too high for me talking about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But actually, this seminar is not about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes at all. The pastimes are certainly part of it, but the essence of the seminar is not Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. The essence is our own spiritual life. Because in these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we are getting a map of how we are ourselves progressing and are meant to progress in spiritual life. We have our little chart on the wall, and we can see if we are going to the devotional service without nectar or with nectar. That's up to us. So the whole essence of Lord Chaitanya's activities with his devotees is that they are going into devotional service with nectar, right, and not without nectar. So how the question is really, how do we go to the point of engaging in devotional service with nectar? Right? And then we see that, what are these devotees doing? They are being absorbed in hearing and chanting. They are really making that their main business. And that is the main business of our movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that organized religion means the death of the true religious spirit. He says like that. Because as soon as you have a movement or an institution, then everyone gets his position in the institution, and everyone starts to identify his spiritual life with whatever position he has in the institution, rather And that can be whatever it is. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to mean, well, Satyananda Maharaj touched upon it also today. It doesn't mean from new bhakta to guru, but it can have all kinds of subtle arrangements. Like, I have two initiations. I've been in this movement longer than they have, and therefore I have seniority. There's so many designations we have. And if that's what we are preoccupied with, then we are on the path of devotional service without nectar, no nectar. The what happened to the law? Anyway, the path with nectar is obviously the path where one does spend a substantial amount of his energy in hearing and chanting, and then in distributing that mercy and sharing that with others. that's also there. So in this way, we are the purpose of this of these descriptions of such books are not to portray the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya as such as like how miraculous it all was and how amazing it was what Lord Chaitanya and his associates were doing, but really what it means for us. Right. Lord Chaitanya, after all, comes as Bhakta Rupa or the devotee of the Lord because at one point, so it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, at one point, the Lord was thinking that for so long, I have not distributed love of God. And I have come as Krishna, and I have taught this transcendental knowledge. Right. I have given all the conclusions. And finally I said, sarva dharmam parichayam amekam saranam braja. After abandon all varieties of religion or activity and just surrender unto me. But nobody did it. And therefore, he decided to come again in the form of a teacher, of a devotee himself. So the whole purpose of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is to portray what we're supposed to do. So therefore, although sometimes when we hear this description, we may think like, a little ethereal, a little bit stories about Lord Chaitanya. Actually, besides that, I like stories about Lord Chaitanya. But besides that, they're full of these things, and we have to look at it. What I wanted to do with this Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak is present it to you as something that we should also know and read, because it gives us more information about Lord Chaitanya, about what he did and about what he taught. Just as there are so many biographies about Srila Prabhupada, the main biography that we are using may be the Lilamrita, but then there are so many other ones, and it's very nice. Like, for example, in the Lilamrita, you very much see pastimes of Prabhupada visiting different places and doing this program and doing this preaching activities. And then if you read Hari Sori's diaries, then you're getting the description of what happened when Prabhupada came home from these programs. Right? That you don't find very often in the Lilamrita, but in Hari Sori's diaries you're finding like, and Prabhupada came home from the program and he was in his room and then he did this and this and this. That you find included in Hari Sori's diary. So in this way, Hari Sori's diary is giving more information about Prabhupada. So in the same way, there are various different source materials that were used for the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavad wrote specifically about the earlier pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the earlier teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would prefer to use teachings than to use pastimes, because oftentimes that's what people say. I have given different presentations on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And many times people said, oh, very nice, you're going to talk about Leela. No, I'm not going to talk about Leela. I'm talking about Siddhanta. Right? Leela is the illustration. Right? Leela is there to make a point. Right? So it's not the Leela itself that is what we are supposed to relish. Oh, here's a Leela, wonderful. So many far things. Lord Chaitanya is dancing there in Srivas's house with the devotees. Vakreshwar Pandit is dancing the whole night. How amazing, how amazing. What wonderful personalities they were. Yes, amazing, amazing. But what about us? What are we doing the whole night? Sleeping, right? So maybe we cannot just, at least I cannot dance the whole night, and I cannot just start doing that, but I can try and do something. I can try and get up a little early in the night and maybe add something to my spiritual practices to a point of becoming, of going beyond duty. Like for example, Satswarup Maharaj made that statement that he said that my real chanting only starts after I finish 16 rounds. And there's something to say for that, right? Because 16 rounds, there's this, well, we have to do 16 rounds. Okay, so Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, two more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, almost finished, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, done, right? 16 rounds, done. Okay, finished, phew, that's one thing out of the way, kind of. But then, so that element of like just finishing the quota, it's there in the first 16 rounds. But when you start to chant extra rounds, well, these are just for Krishna, right? Just, you know. Or these are just, this is a special offering. This is something special. So oftentimes, that's where it starts. And then it may not exactly start also at the 17th round. But if you keep on chanting, sometimes I was trying to chant some more rounds and I only found that somewhere at round 27, right, I was thinking, wow, now I chanted a round, you know. Now chanted at least one round that had some meaning, yeah, or whatever, a little bit of attention in the round, a little bit of attempt to go beyond the mechanic platform. So, like this, we also are meant to give, to chase more nectar in our spiritual life, to add more nectar to our spiritual life by being more absorbed. If Lord Chaitanya is performing a great play in the house of Srivas Thakur, then that really proves that he is deeply absorbed. It's also very nice. The play is just spontaneously performed. Everyone just plays his part. It's not that there's no rehearsals, there is no lines being learned, nothing. They just are in Vrindavan and they are just those personalities. They get in the mood of those personalities. We can also do that. It is done in the mood of a meditation, and we see this that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do this at times. On appearance days of the Lord, he would dress up with the cowherd boy, with the other friends as cowherd boys. It said one Janmashtami, Lord Chaitanya dressed up along with the different devotees as cowherd boys. And then he challenged Lord Nityananda. So show that you are a cowherd boy. And Lord Nityananda then showed it by taking his stick and throwing it in the air and catching it and throwing it in many different ways and left and right and catching like that. Yes, so it wasn't like today we are going to play, do a play about, you know, Krishna and the cowherd boys. No, we are those cowherd boys. This deep meditation is very nice. And it reminds me of what we used to do when we were children, right? We did so many plays when we were children, and we just became that, right? And you are this, and you are that, and that was it. There was no rehearsal, and you just had to do it, right? And like, like my name, my Karmi name was Paul, right? And there was one boy in the street. He had big dental fixtures, you know, like those braces and everything. So he couldn't speak properly because of the braces. So therefore he could not pronounce my name properly, right? So he would always say, Paul, Paul. Oh, Paul, I couldn't say the L. So Paul means peacock, right? Actually, it's a Dutch word for peacock. So my nickname became Peacock, right? So in the street, I was known as a kid, I was known as Peacock. What can I say? All the kids used to call me Peacock. So then they were challenging me, you know. They were still challenging me, like, show your feathers, right? Come on, Peacock, right? Show your feathers, show your feathers. So what to do? So what I did was I used to put my hands in the pocket of my jacket, and have it zipped up, and then hold up the jacket like that, you know, like that, and then bend over, and then, you know, hold my jacket like the feathers, right? Because when you're a kid, okay, you're just challenged. You have to do it, right? You have to be creative, and somehow or other, you have to become a peacock. So I became a peacock, right? What can you do, right? And in English also, my name is Peacock because my last name is Cock. So my initial is P and it's Cock, you know, Peacock. So Peacock, I don't know what it is, but Peacock is following me around wherever I go, which I don't mind that much because it reminds me of Vrindavan. Right? So in one sense, I take it as something auspicious. But then again, I'm not here to talk about myself, but about Lord Chaitanya. But the point that I want to make is clear, that what Lord Chaitanya was doing was deeply getting absorbed in remembering Krishna. Okay. Of course, he was Krishna, so he became Krishna. He became Radha in Krishna and all that. But they were remembering Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna. So we should also do so. So remembering Lord Chaitanya is non-different from remembering Krishna, but especially Lord Chaitanya is a devotee, and he's showing us how to act as a devotee. So when Lord Chaitanya left, all these devotees, they were just totally, totally shocked. They were so overwhelmed. They couldn't handle it. Gangadas, just after he heard all that, he just didn't want to know the realities. No. This is not a fact, you know. Like, I think you should just look for him. And everyone said, no, we already looked for him. He said, no. We should just look for him. He said, no, you've been sleeping. We've looked everywhere. No, we should look for him. He just kept on repeating like that. He refused to accept it that Lord Chaitanya had left. Advaita Acharya was getting already to another level. He was saying, oh Lord, you have blinded our eyes. You have filled all the directions with blinding darkness. You've made desolate the hearts of all living entities. What offense have we committed that made you leave us? So again, it is very nice that Advaita Acharya is bringing out this point, an offense involved, right? Because this is a fact, that when an offense is committed, then the Lord leaves us. If we have Krishna and he is close to us at one point, an offense, the Lord will leave. Right? So Advaita Acharya's question is very relevant. Of course, it's not only due to offenses that the Lord will leave, but it is also out of his own free will to increase the attachment of the devotees. So that was going on. And Murari is still having hope that the Lord will return. Srinivas is thinking about Mother Sachi. And he's thinking, what are we going to say to Mother Sachi? How are we going to say something? So Gangadas, say something, you know, that will calm her down. So 3 hours have passed, 6 hours have passed, 9 hours have passed. Alas, the day is almost ended. Gradually, the rope of hope is breaking. My life is breaking with it. O Lord, still no news of you has entered the pathway of my ears. This is Gadara, and he faints. And in this way, all the devotees are just becoming more and more anxious, more and more depressed. All of them speak and say something. And Srivas is saying that, "Oh my Lord, my heart cannot understand your mischief. Why does the Supreme Lord act as a child?" That's also, I like it. This is nice that he's like, "See, this is not, this is not mature. This may be going on in material relationship, one just walking away from another, but these emotions that we are having for the Supreme Lord are not cheap. So why is he just walking away? This is not mature, right? You're not supposed to do that, right? This is very immature." So it's very nice that Srivas is speaking like that. Different devotees are all saying very nice, different things. Let me see. And Haridas is saying, "Alas, alas, if the life heirs do not at once leave when the master of life departs, if they do not leave in the next moment, or if they do not leave at all, then they must bear many millions of harsh rebukes. These life heirs will not sit still. They will torture the person that bears them." So many of the devotees, Lord Chaitanya has been gone for 12 hours. And some of the devotees begin to think of giving up their bodies. Right? They cannot live any longer in separation of the Lord. It's very quick, right? But for them, these 12 hours were very long. Tears are flowing from my eyes. I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. So here, that's what we're seeing. That kind of mood, which is described in the Siksastikam. This intense attachment to Lord Chaitanya is being displayed in this pastime. Well, finally, after a long time, Acharya Ratna is coming. Acharya Ratna was taken together with Lord Nityananda by Lord Chaitanya. And Acharya Ratna was asked to make all the arrangements for the Lord's sannyas. He couldn't do it. There was no way. He could not get himself to do it. He had to arrange for a barber to shave him up. Shave Lord Chaitanya's hair? It's like, forget it. I can't do it. No way. He couldn't arrange for the barber. Finally, a barber just appeared. And then Lord Chaitanya engaged the barber. And the barber couldn't shave Lord Chaitanya either. He just couldn't do it, right? And Lord Chaitanya, but somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya was shaved. Everything happened automatically. Acharya Ratna was supposed to set up the yajna, but it was all there. The cloth, everything just appeared. It's like, so it was happening. Yeah. So like that, they are in great, great anxiety. And finally, then Acharya Ratna describes that he took sannyas. And he said, "Acharya Ratna, now you make all the arrangements." I said, "What arrangements?" Then the Lord told me what to do. When I understood what he meant, I became overwhelmed. I was struck dumb. I could not answer, but began to cry. After that, all the arrangements were automatically made in the right way. Words cannot describe what happened then. So Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, and well, at that point, Acharyaratna is totally shocked. He couldn't understand why did he leave Lord Chaitanya. Said he was one of the fortunate ones to be with Lord Chaitanya, so why did he leave? So as he was walking to the devotees in Navadvip, he's thinking, why did I leave Lord Chaitanya? I'm doomed. What a fool am I? I was with him and I'm leaving him. How could I do this? Why am I doing this? Why don't I just refuse? But he had to do it because it was the order of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda had sent him to the devotees in Navadvip with a message that Lord Nityananda sent the message that don't worry, as we wander from pathway to pathway, somehow or other, I will lead him to Advaita's home. So in that way it ends. Right? How, and everyone sees some hope. Everyone is just feeling some life. Advaita Acharya is becoming totally ecstatic. And he says, oh, you are glorious. You are so glorious. Oh, Lord Nityanandadev, you are glorious. Your sincere friendship has conquered me. Acharyaratna, go and comfort Sachidevi, and I will make the other arrangements. Right. So this is I like this statement also very much because it speaks about the nature of friendship, and that friendship is not an artificial thing. It's not that one can simply say, yes, I'm your friend. Right? Sometimes people come and they say, I'm your friend. But a real friend is not just someone who announces, I'm your friend. Yeah. A real friend is someone who conquers you by some special things that he does. Then he becomes your real friend. Yeah. So a friendship is not, cannot be formally declared. Yeah. So then in thinking about that, I was thinking that doesn't only apply to friendship, that of course applies to any relationship of the heart. It can never be declared. And in the same way, the disciple must conquer the heart of the spiritual master by his sincere service. That is the duty of a disciple. And I'm thinking specifically about myself as a disciple, that this is a very important meditation. That we must do something to conquer the heart of the spiritual master. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Right? And the onus is on the disciple to come forward and to conquer that the heart of the spiritual master, to get the attention, to somehow or other impress him by that service. Then the mercy starts to flow. Because the mercy starts to really flow when it is drawn out naturally from the spiritual master's heart. He can, of course, think, let me be kind, let me be merciful to a disciple. But if he is, and that's his general nature, because the nature of a spiritual master is to be kind and merciful. But when the disciple does something special to conquer the heart of the spiritual master, then that mercy will just flow spontaneously, and then so much mercy will flow. So this is this conquering is something that has to be done if one really wants the essence. And this is the kind of relationship, guru-disciple relationship, that exists in the amongst the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, where they conquer each other. They conquer. One conquers the other. Right? Lord Chaitanya conquers the devotees, and the devotees conquer Lord Chaitanya. And this is the nature of spiritual relationships. So it's very nice. There's a mantra. We're going on to the next act. Just a few minutes left. In the next act, we have the mantra the sannyas mantra is Itamsa Staya, which is a famous mantra from the 11th canto. In that mantra, it is described that I will cross over the insurmountable mountain, over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, it is by devotional service to Krishna that one can become free from the ocean of nescience, and no other way. So Lord Chaitanya was repeating this mantra again and again. Itamsta sastaya paratmanistam madhyasitam purvatamir mahadvi aham tarijyami duram taparam ma tamomu kundangri niseveye va. So this is known as the sannyas mantra because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this at the time of sannyas. It's not the sannyas Gayatri mantra. It is the public sannyas mantra that everybody knows. Some think that this is the sannyas Gayatri mantra. It's not. And then Lord Chaitanya was deeply absorbed in this mood of remembering Krishna. And in that way, and repeating this verse, and by remembering Krishna, transcendental to the modes of material nature. And Nityananda is observing him. And Nityananda says, the fire of renunciation makes him melt with the nectar of love for Krishna. So this is also a very significant statement, that the fire of renunciation makes him melt with the nectar of love for Krishna. I mean, this is the sort of statement I would write in my little notebook. I will write it in my little notebook. Because this is actually a definition of Vaishnava renunciation. Elsewhere, we will find in the play how the renunciation of the impersonalist is described as a dry... It says the heart becomes dry and shriveled up like a fruit that has been neglected for a long time. So... a heart like a dried up, shriveled fruit. That is the impersonalist. But here it is the nectar of love. The fire of renunciation makes him melt with the nectar of love for Krishna. That is really the purpose of the Vaishnava sannyas. So it is a very nice definition of sannyas and really something to remember. So Lord Chaitanya is mad, deeply immersed in love of God. He doesn't know what's going on. He has no idea where he is. And so Lord Nityananda is just thinking, how can I bring him to the house of Advaita Acharya? And I guess it goes on there tomorrow. Because we're running out of time. So is there any question or any comment? I cannot hear you. Onus. Onus means the... focus. Initiative, yeah. It is the onus, the duty. The duty to do something. The onus is on you. That's okay. So a Dutch translation, you can look in a dictionary. But the meaning of the word is basically the onus is that the responsibility is on you now. To take an initiative. Right. Yeah. That's the meaning. Yeah. If you want to find one word, then you have to look in a dictionary. Because I'm not a dictionary. Yes. Ooh. the left wing shows the devotees. Yeah, I think so. What is the conclusion of the last three at the bottom on the left page? Here he doesn't go any further. I'm sure that it could continue, more qualities could come, because a Vaishnava is an ocean of good qualities, but he took it this far. He took these qualities as major qualities, which he found worth mentioning. So, I think non-duplicity. Naturalness means non-duplicity. That we are... a devotee is... it also means, really, like, no artificial behavior. A devotee can be very honest. A devotee can be simply what he is. He doesn't have to pretend. The whole world is pretending. Because in material life, you are supposed to be something you're not. That's the whole emphasis is on being something you're not. And you constantly have to prove that you are that which you are not. That's material life. But as a devotee, we are supposed to be ourselves. So... and that non-duplicity is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is obviously part of that. So he has... See, don't forget that this was written before the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? So that makes it, again, interesting, because we know, like when I read this, I immediately know, oh, naturalness, oh, non-duplicity, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's like clearly... mentioned, not just as a quality, but there are several verses dedicated to that, emphasizing how we should have this quality of non-duplicity, which is basically this naturalness. But we see that Kavi Karnapur already had it here, but then in other words, as naturalness. So Kavi Karnapur in this play gave the, or in this, and in this chart, well, I made it into a chart, he just gave it in a description of one page, and I just felt, if I don't make a chart of it, no one's going to understand. Unfortunately, and I tried even to make it on a computer, but I'm not such a, I just don't have it, you know, and all the boxes started to go all over the page, and at one point I said, forget it, you know. I just really said, forget it, right? This is just, you know, too much, right? So there was no time to make a problem. Maybe one day somebody better at these things than me gets inspired and just make a little chart. I know this is a little crummy the way it's on the paper there, but yes. Something religion and institution, but something I missed. What did you say? Yeah. Yeah. Institutionalized religion. My statement that I quoted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saying that by institutional religion one kills the true religious spirit. You mean? Yeah. And how to deal with that in ISKCON? Yeah. We've got a problem. Yeah. We got a big problem. Right? And I don't think we have fully successfully dealt with this. I think that it can be overcome. Right? And it's obvious that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, although he made that statement, he also made the Gaudiya Mat. Right? But then again, there were also plenty of institutional concerns there There was the famous Bagh Bazar temple made by Jagat Bandhu, a very rich disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And with all his life savings, in 1 year he made this beautiful temple, all with marble. And then everyone started to argue about which room they were going to get, etc. And Bhaktisiddhanta became quite disgusted with it and said, if I could take the marble off the walls, I would, and just print books. So, I'm sure ISKCON also has some of these institutional problems, right, where we're going for the externals. So it's up to us individuals, right, to do something. It is really like, it will only be really solved on the on the individual level. You can't solve this problem institutionally, right, by making a declaration. No one from now on should identify with the external designations that one can have in the institution. This is a new resolution. From now on, everyone must go for the true inner religious spirit, right, of bhakti, right? And this is a new resolution that has just been passed and is coming out of Mayapur. It's not going to work like that. I mean, it's up to us to individually go beyond this. And to say, forget it, I don't mind, I don't care that I don't, I will not go for these externals. That doesn't mean that one should not take responsibility in a society, right? There is also a sacrifice to make to uphold the institution. In ISKCON, we realized that we were in the deep, darkest ignorance, and that it is by the mercy of this institution that we've got transcendental knowledge, right? And without it we would be nowhere, right? So one time I was in India and I met this devotee somewhere in the Himalayas, in Rishikesh, as I was going up, a little devotee with a beard, and he said to me that, you know, Prabhu, it was before I took it, yeah. We don't really need ISKCON, you know, to be Krishna conscious. We don't really need. And there was a big realization, you know, and it was just echoing more. I heard it more often in those days, right? And even nowadays, you will meet such people who will say that, right? So I'm not going to argue that point, but my answer would be, It may be or may not be. Right? That may be or may not be. Right? But we are supposed to make a contribution to ISKCON because we are indebted. Right? We have received so much mercy. So we have to repay that debt. Right? Whether we need to stay in the temples all the time to get inspiration in our own spiritual life, or whether we can do it somewhere in a little hut on a mountain peak, I don't know. That's up to you. But we should make a contribution to the institution. And considering that, then we have to sometimes take designations and become this and that. But as soon as we have these designations, something changes. Something changes in us, right? And that we have to watch. It is quite amazing, you know. I know it very well. As soon as you are the temple president, right? As soon as you're it, right? Something has changed. You're different now, yeah? And we have seen nice people, you know, turn into like, my God, you know, what happened, right? Became temple president. It became a different species, right? A total metamorphosis, a transformation, yeah? Total transformation in the negative sense. We want positive transformation. Anyway, I've used up 5 minutes of the break because I came late, but we'll stop with this. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Upper charge of depth for ourselves.